So what happens when you become the bride? The marriage is consummated. Amen. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
And when the marriage is consummated, that means two become what? One. And if two becomes one, then you go from being the bride to becoming the body. And then if you become the body of Christ in the earth, why are we looking for him to do it from heaven? And he said, I empowered all of you to do it on earth. He said, in my name you shall speak with new tongues. In my name you will cast out devils. In my name you can lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Do I have any witnesses in here that said I need to do what he said do in order that I may be able to do the greater works than these? So he confronted him. He said that, you know, I blinded him and I talked to him. See, sometimes God got to put you in a blind spot so he can talk to you. You're too busy being religious. We're too busy trying to do it our own way. We're too busy thinking that we right about everything. And ain't nobody right about everything. Tell somebody you ain't right about everything.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17, and I just want to lift out for your hearing verse 8. Matthew chapter 17, verse 8. And when you find it, say amen. Amen. Recorded are these words. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man but Jesus only. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while this morning, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus Stands Alone. Amen. Jesus stands alone. I don't want you to reach over and touch nobody. I don't want you to, you know, get close to nobody. I just want you to say, Jesus stands alone. Now, you believe that, give God some praise in his house today. I want you to pay particular reference to verse 8 that says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, there are just some points I want to lift up out of this story. It's in the book, it's in the 17th chapter from verses 1 through 8, and it's not finished here, but this is where I want to pause for the time's sake. It starts off in verse 1 talking about after 6 days, and I want to pause because that reference is necessary to understand the story. Jesus, in the 16th chapter, concluding it, is talking about his death coming into his glory. And he says, with those who were listening to him, that some would still be living and or alive when that would happen. And of course, some were thinking about, he was talking about in the resurrection at the end of time, but that was not what Jesus was referring to. He was referring to this incident that's about to happen that was scheduled from the beginning of time. And he wanted them to pay close attention to the fact that 6 days later, what he told them about earlier was going to happen. And so the Bible says he takes Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain apart. Apart from who? Apart from the other disciples and apart from those things that were down in the valley, namely people, business, problems, trouble, situation. Jesus often ascended into mountains to have prayer time with God, to commune with God. And so this was no different. But this time, he takes Peter, James, and John. Scholars tell us it is the reason for the naming of Peter, James, and John in particular because they were the elect of the disciples, the intimates of Jesus. He didn't have favorites, he had intimates. Those were the persons who gave more of themselves to Jesus, desired more of Jesus, and so Jesus embraced them more wholeheartedly. And so Peter, who was known as the Rock, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also known as the sons of thunder, were there. But there is another reason why Jesus brought those three. And it is because in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 15, Moses, the writer of the law, the books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, says that if any man is going to be charged or if anything is going to be verified and confirmed, one person could not do it alone. He needed to have two or three witnesses to verify or to confirm or to make whole a thing. But now Jesus says in the 18th chapter of Matthew, in the 16th verse, let every word, be established out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. So now what you're going to have in this series here is both a magnificent thing that's going to happen, and then later on you're going to hear the words that Jesus brought Peter, James, and John to be able to be witnesses of, to verify. It bothered me when we go to the story of Jesus going after the Last Supper and bringing the disciples to the beginning, to the opening of the Garden of Gethsemane, but leaving those eight because Judas had already gone to prepare to take Jesus with his underhanded backstabbing ways with the high priest and all of those who were trying to kill Jesus. So he left the eight and he took Peter, James, and John and brought them in closer. But the Bible says, he said to them, watch with me for 1 hour. Now notice Jesus didn't say pray with me, because there are some people who are not on the spiritual level to pray for you. They can pray with you, but they can't pray for you. You'll catch that on your way home. So you need to be careful about asking everybody to pray for you. Everybody can pray with you, but everybody can't pray for you. He said, watch with me. And he comes back and he finds them having fallen to sleep. And so he wakes them up and say, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then he tells them to pray, but this time he tells them to pray for who? For themselves, that they enter not into temptation. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. But here is the reason again. He brought them in to be a witness. The word watch was necessary because he was telling them deliberately to be a witness of the things that were about to happen. And they couldn't even stay up to be a witness. Listen, my brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important than doing what God called you to do. There may be many other things you'd like to do. Yeah, I'd like to pray with the Lord, but if he didn't tell me to pray and he told me to watch, then my job is to watch. So that was Peter, James, and John to be a witness of what happened. Verse 2 tells us he was transfigured. He lit up lighter than the noonday sun. His clothes were brighter than the light. Verse 3 tells us, and then beside him stood Moses and Elijah. Verse 4 tells us, Peter cries out, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias, known as Elijah. Now, Peter thought he was saying something, like a whole lot of folk who talk out of turn through inspiration. See, you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, it's one thing to speak out of inspiration. It's another thing to speak out of revelation. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you hear Peter speaking and saying, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, Jesus, one for you, Moses, and one for you, Elijah. Now, what they did recognize was that Moses and Elijah were recognized by divine revelation. They had never seen Moses. It was thousands of years when Moses walked the earth. Moses, who died, God buried him in Mount Nebo and then turned around and buried his grave. Elijah, who never died, God took him in a fiery chariot on up to heaven and allowed his mantle to fall on Elisha or Elisha. And so here, the prophet who never died and Moses, the great lawgiver, were there called into a divine conference with Jesus. What did they discuss? The record is not clear in terms of details, but we know the discussion was surrounding the fact that he was getting ready not many days from now to go to Calvary. And so he was talking to the greatest lawgiver on the one hand, and he was talking to the greatest prophet that men had known before Jesus on the other hand. And that was Jesus in the midst of them, transfigured. They were in his shadow. He was the only one that was transfigured. And Peter makes a monumental mistake. It sounded good. Let's build three churches. Peter's desire was to stay there and worship all three of them. We don't need to go back down in the valley. We don't need to worry about them folk down there and their problems. We left some disciples, let them handle it. If you read the rest of the story, they couldn't handle the problem. Man brought his lunatic son. They could not cast out that spirit, and Jesus had to rebuke them because they lost their faith because they didn't have the master who had already anointed them there and given them that power to rebuke and to cast out, to heal, deliver, set free, all of that. But their faith had weakened because they were down in the bottom, in the valley, and Peter, James, and John were on the mountaintop. You know, sometimes jealousy and envious will rob you of your faith. See, sometimes God doesn't bring us certain places because we can't handle certain things. And we ought to be grateful that God doesn't put more on us than what we can bear. So listen now. Because Peter put Moses and Elijah on the same level with Jesus, on the same par with the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, God became upset. Verse 5 tells us that a cloud appeared and that cloud overshadowed them. Interpreters and commentators and scholars tell us that what that word overshadowed meant was it enveloped them. You remember when the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary and the seed of Jesus Christ was planted in her? It means to come upon them. The cloud that they knew about, heard about, what was so significant about that cloud that appeared? Well, those of you who know the word know that that was the Shekinah cloud of glory. That cloud represented the presence of Almighty God. It was the same God that led the children of Israel in Egypt by day and that pillar of fire by night. It was that same cloud that met Moses on the mountain, and Moses wanted to see God. But God had to let him know, if I let you see me, I'm going to have to kill you. So what I'll do is let you see me pass and let you look at my back. And when the cloud passed by, Moses saw the back of God. And when he came down, he went up with black hair. But when he came down, his hair, his beard was white as snow because he got caught up in the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory of God. It's the same cloud that Isaiah saw when he said, in the year that Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. And his glory, that same cloud, filled the place so much so that the minister couldn't minister. There was nothing you could say when the presence of God shows up that strong. And that's the cloud they saw. And listen at what God said. Listen at the tenor and the tone of the text, the tension in the text. This is my beloved son, verse 5, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Notice what he didn't say. These are my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye them. But rather he said, hear ye him. Him. Peter put Moses and Elijah on the same par, the same level, the same stage as Jesus. And that upset God. And God spoke out. Verse 6 says they fell on their face because of their fear of hearing God rebuke them like that. He said, well, only Peter spoke, but James and John said amen. Y'all will catch that when y'all wake up. They were witnesses. They were witnesses. And they all fell on their face with fear because they all were wrong. And verse 7 says, and Jesus came and touched them and said, be not afraid. And they arose. Now, they were familiar with that touch of Jesus. It was a compassionate touch. It was a loving touch. And when they felt the touch of Jesus, they knew everything was going to be all right. And when they stood up, the Bible says, and when they had what? And when they had lifted up their eyes, their eyes, the same eyes that saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah as one, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now let me help you here, because when I told you Jesus stands alone, it was never clearer to Peter, James, and John that Jesus stands alone. Jesus wanted them to be a witness that not many days from then, he would be hanging on the cross. He would die and then 3 days later rise. But he needed them to hold on to the faith that they got a glimpse of him in his glory so that they would be able to tell the story, I was there. When I got a glimpse of him in his transfigured state, and when I made the mistake of saying, let's build three tabernacles, God spoke out and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You shut up and listen to him. Peter never had a problem with hearing when Jesus spoke. How authoritatively? Why? Because God spoke on his behalf to confirm what Jesus had been saying. This wasn't the first time God said that. When he was baptized, he said it. But this time he adds, hear ye him. Not them. Not Moses. Not Elijah. Not Peter. Not James. Not John. Not Confucius, not Buddha, not any other god, not Hare Krishna, not Jim Jones, not a Father Divine, not anyone but Jesus. Listen, there are many imposters who say they're Jesus, but not none of them can stand on the stage with Jesus. He is the only one throughout history who stands alone. I told you last week about Buddha and having to live and die 572 times. I was wrong. It wasn't 572 times, it was 547 times. But Hebrews 9:29 said it is appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. Listen, the only people who got to live and die twice are those who, for the sake of faith and demonstration, Lazarus, the widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughters, and many others from that time forth who were raised in faith, who were resuscitated in faith, but they were not resurrected, because when you're resurrected, you never die again. But when you're raised, you will have to die again. And so, my brothers and sisters, Jesus stands alone. And he ought to stand alone in your heart. Don't put nobody else next to Jesus. The Bible says, listen, Philippians 2 and 9, and I'm closing. Listen. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, not them, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven. Are they going to bow in heaven to Moses? Are they going to bow in heaven to Elijah? Are they going to bow in heaven to any other God? No. And in earth. Right now, people are bowing to all kinds of gods because we're a pluralistic nation. But there's coming a time when it won't be nobody, even in the earth, that would bow to no one else but Jesus. And under the earth. Listen at this, and I'm closing for sure. When you see that even those in hell and Satan himself bowing to Jesus, and every demon, every dark angel, every imp and everything in hell recognizing that Satan had fooled him and them, and he was not on par with Jesus, and God intended hell to be for Satan and his fallen angels, and all those millions of people who will recognize that he deceived them, thinking he was some kind of God, and watch Satan bow to Jesus. And every tongue confess. What are they going to say? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Somebody ought to give him a hand. Jesus stands alone. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, help me if you can. Jesus. What's his name? Say it again.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, my Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, 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 oh.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I love him.
Jesus, Jesus.
Master.
Master, Master.
Oh, y'all not saying it like y'all mean it this morning. Whoa, Master.
Master,
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 hey, my Lord,
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
Savior,
Savior,
Savior, Savior,
you're the only one,
Savior, Savior, Savior,
you stand alone,
Savior, Savior, Savior,
what's his name? Hey, Jesus, the doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.com.